In here, this is Pastor Buddy. We're live. This is the 17th day of the month of September. Man, we are moving right along in the time frame. And as soon as you can say Jackrabbit, we're going to be in festival time in Andrews, North Carolina. We invite everyone that would like to come to a tabernacle festival. A fall festival, the end gathering, when the saints are commanded actually to come together and to do a little fellowship in accordance with the scriptural teachings of the law. Well, we know that the law is for those who break the law. Well, then the law is not for us, but we come together not to observe the law. We come together to celebrate the union of life that is as a result of the law. The Bible said the law is spiritual. And so we come together, and I've learned many, many things in the time that I have been keeping feast festivals and Sabbaths. I have learned all of my knowledge that has come through the divine covenant plan of Yahweh. Don't know much, but I do know a little bit about the importance of festival keeping. So that'll be the 27th of this month on your Gregorian calendar. Actually begins the night of the full moon. And then we're going to be there for 8 days celebrating the fall festival of the end gathering, which is called Tabernacles. Well, among the many mistaken and unscriptural notions commonly taught in nearly all churches is the ideal that the flood mentioned in the Bible covered all the earth and drowned everybody on earth except Noah and his family. We're going to get into that tonight and see if the scriptures will verify that the flood was worldwide. We're going to examine the preponderance of the evidence. We're going to look into the actual true translation, not the false translations, or as we have noted many, many times before, the mistranslation, that's a better word. People that really use words and language that was not appropriate, where the language that they used to indicate that there was a worldwide flood, it didn't say that to start with. And yet the people have been taken by the cunning, sly craftiness of the word changers. You see, we've lost the value of the true word to translation, meaning that we didn't understand some of the idioms of the other languages, mainly Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, and then to English, and then into other languages. And so the value has been, it's been devalued, greatly. And so we're going to try to restore some of the credibility of the power of the word language back into the Bible. When churches firmly insist, and they believe that, like I say, they read the Bible, and the way they read the Bible is the way they think that the actual true Bible or the original was written, and here's where we have our problem. It's not. So we got to do our strong search, the word search, the Hebrew search, the Greek search. I have literally wore out concordances looking at words. And it's very important. I know it takes a lot of time. Sometimes it's boring, and it seems like it's useless. But I'm telling you, you'll learn a lot if you'll just put the original word back where it was originally written by Look, well, look here. Let's go with Peter. First, let's go to 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days those who scoff, walking after their own lust. We're talking about religious people. This is what Peter's talking about. He's talking about the evil, the wicked. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But, now we're going to start on the flood issue. Listen to me, very careful in the wording of the Apostle Peter. For this, they are willingly, now these are people that know Bible. See, they have misinterpreted the Bible. This they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth. Now we're talking about standing, listen to this now, standing out of the water and in the water. Now the earth was standing out of the water first, it says, and in the water, thereby the world that then was, that word world is again a bad choice of words in the King James. It's Strong's number 2889, and the region, it's just like in the days of Caesar Augustus. It says in Luke, or Matthew, that all the world was taxed. Well, we know that all the world wasn't taxed. It's just a wrong choice of word. Not all the world was taxed by Caesar. Because Caesar didn't control all the world. He didn't have jurisdiction over all the world. He only had jurisdiction over what is considered the Roman Empire. There was other empires on the earth that, as a matter of fact, they even coexisted along with the Roman Empire. So Caesar was just over the area of Palestine, and the Hebrew people were subjected to invasion and control by the Romans. This was all planned by the Father anyway, but whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Now listen, he said the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. So the flood indicated here by Peter was not a literal flood that covered all of the earth. We're going to talk about that tonight and get into some of the going back to Genesis, where it mentions the flood. And remember in Genesis 6, where we're taking our text tonight, the fallen angels had something to do with this. They were the cause, and it produced the effects of the aftermath. Remember, the Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. They were sowing perversion, like I said last night, sin, corruption, violence. In sixth chapter there, it says that the earth was given over to violence. Well, look at it now. You're not safe anywhere. And we've got more perversion going on now than, well, most of the world's atheist anyway. They just don't know it. Or agnostic. Out of the hundreds of thousands of people who might have become Christians, if they had only been taught the truth about the Bible to start with, these people might have been believers. Part of this mistaken ideal is all about the flood. It's due to the many mistranslations found in the commonly used King James Version of the Bible. Also, part of it appears plainly to be false if you merely carefully read even the King James Version. And we need to, and let's have a look at it, in Genesis chapter 6, where we're going to go and examine. We read that God, Almighty Yahweh, found the people so corrupt that he regretted that he had ever created them because of the evil and the violence that I alluded to last night. So he decided to, an advisory board. Remember, it was Yahweh and his angels, his true angels, not the fallen ones now. They're trying to determine how to get Adam, the sons of Adam, offspring of Adam, how to deliver them from this mess. Because we're fixing to have some things to happen here that is going to literally wipe out. We don't believe the whole earth, because somebody survived it. We're going to prove to you that somebody, Satan and his angels, and the other people of the earth, and so it's had to be an isolated place, a flood, of a specific people. Remember, Yahweh chose a specific people, one family. That's the family of Adam. But he decided through the miscegenation and the violence and everything that was going on to wipe them out. And he warned his son, offspring of Adam, Noah, of the coming flood, and told him to build a great boat or an ark in which he and his family could find safety. And they were to preserve a few of each kind of animal from the area. In chapter 7, it tells how Noah received the final warning that the time had now come and he should move into the ark. And then it says, according to the King James Version, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and cattle, beast, ever creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Now, it sounds like that this would be a total wipeout of all of life upon the earth, with the exception of Noah and his three sons and their wives and his wife, which would be 8 souls. Now, we only have, according to the way this is reading here, we're going to examine it and break it down in word and show you it's not exactly like it's been translated. Now, the waters prevailed upon the earth exactly 150 days, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water assuaged, meaning it began to drop. And the waters returned from off the earth continuously. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month of the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. Now, first, let's look at the translators and see what they've done to what Moses originally wrote. And you remember that the King James Version says that the rain was upon the earth and the waters increased greatly upon the earth. And all flesh died and moved upon the earth. Definitely not. This is not true. Remember that in Genesis 4:14, when God had driven Cain away in punishment and his murder of Abel, that the King James Version quotes Cain as saying, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." So what did Cain do? Did he climb into a rocket ship and take off for outer space? I don't think so. Of course not. He was not driven out from the face of the earth, and the Bible never said so. Only the translators said that in their reckoning of what was meant with the word substitutes and the value of the word power of the original word that was in there, taken away the value of the word, changed it, and now the whole world is being actually deceived by some of these things. Now, the word Cain was Ad-o-ma in the Hebrew. And it means the ground. God had told him that his farming would no longer be successful. So so Cain said, thou hast driven me off of the ground. Not off the earth. Because we know that he just moved from the farm over to the, and started building cities, right? Well, see, we get a misunderstanding because of a word change. You probably noticed that Cain's descendants today are not farmers. You know, they run pawn shops and they're the head of money lending institutions and they're now in the government. Very entrenched and, head of the New World Order. Now, let's go over to Genesis 7. It's now talking about the flood. Whenever it says that the flood covered the earth, I want you to listen to this real careful. The Hebrew word used in the original writing by Moses was erats. E-H-R-A-T-S. Erats. Meaning the land. The flood did cover the particular land where it occurred in the Turin Basin, which was just a giant bowl if you look at it from space, where the valley of Mesopotamia and the original Adam was mixing his seed with other races of the earth. This was a no-no. And they had miscegenated or adulterated their blood to the time that there was only Noah and his family had remained righteous and worth saving or worth preserving in that area. The flood occurred. That is a local flood which covered one particular region of the land, not the whole earth, as the King James mistakenly says. It does not mean the whole earth. The word erat is the land. And not the earth. Again, notice that it specifies that 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail and the mountains were covered. In ancient times, two different lengths of a cubit were in use. Now, the sacred cubit, which is 25 inches or around 25 inches, and the common cubit that we have today is 20.58 of an inch. Therefore, the waters rose above the mountains. And if it's speaking of either 25 feet and 9 inches or 31 feet and 3 inches, it would have to be that it would raise above the tops of the mountains 25 feet or 31 feet, depending on what cubic measure you use, according to that. And if this is meant that all the mountains on earth were covered and the waters would have to cover then Mount Everest, which is nearly 6 miles high, therefore, all the earth would be covered by water 6 miles deep, plus 25 or 31 feet. And it didn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. It just didn't happen. Because the power of the word is not there. It didn't say it covered the whole earth. That's what man has said. It said covered the land. What land? The land of the region of Mesopotamia. And Mesopotamia only. Therefore, all the earth would be covered by water 6 miles deep plus. And in this case, there could have, where could it have run off to when the flood subsided? Where would all that water go? It didn't mean that the Bible was mistaken. It didn't mean that. It was just the translators made this mistake. They took the Hebrew word erats, which means the land, and mistranslated it to mean the whole earth, or the whole world, as it says. Now, we're going to look over the evidence that proves that land. If the whole earth was covered by 6 miles of water, then all nations must have been completely exterminated. Yet Babylon, Egyptian, and Chinese history runs right through this period with a continuous history and without a break. And it's recorded in their histories that there was no flood in their region or in their area. The Bible gives the date of the flood as commencing in 2345 BC, if we use the time frame of man's ideal about time. And it was ended in 2344 BC. And Lower Sumer, later called Chaldea, and which occupied the same plans as Shinar, like the one I was telling you about, to which Noah's family journeyed after the flood, the city of Ur of the Chaldees was the leading city from 2400 BC until 2285 BC. And its history is not broken by any flood in this period because we have the tablets and evidence to prove it. Further, to the north, Babylon was rising to power about 2400 BC of this period and had reached a great height of civilization under famous kings that are written about in the tablets with a continuous dynasty and unbroken history who, as we know the Hebrew patriarch Abraham, about 2250 BC, and again, there's no break in this history due to the flood. In Egypt, the 11th dynasty began to reign about 2375 BC with no break, and it had a continuous history in the time of Noah's flood. The nation continued to be large and powerful throughout this period with no account of a flood. Accurate history of China begins nearly 3000 BC. The Shuqin historical record of China shows that the King Yao came to the throne in 2356 BC, 11 years before the start of Noah's flood, and ruled China for many years after the flood. During the reign of Yao, the Shuqin reports that the Hua Ho River, which drains mountains and a great basin in the Sichuan province, had excessive floods for three generations. Here again, there was no break in history. The Chinese nation was not wiped out, and its own records show that it continued in existence right through the period of Noah's flood. Therefore, the Bible is correct in stating that the flood covered only the land, not the earth. The land in which Noah and the sons of Adam flourished, only in one region. That land, the translators are wrong when they change the meaning of what Moses really wrote in Genesis 7. And all you got to do is look at the Hebrew word. It don't mean the whole earth. It meant the land. And then they changed it and said that the flood covered all the earth. That's wrong. It shouldn't have been done that way, but it's just like word usage sometimes changes the whole flavor or nature of the meaning of a text. Now, this leaves us ready to inquire where the flood did occur. For this, we'll have to start with Adam and Eve and trace where they and their descendants went. And we know exactly because the Bible tells us. They started out in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:10 through 14, and it tells us that a river went out of Eden, and this river was divided into four streams. Its names, the rivers, the Pison and the Gihon, neither of which can be identified among the rivers existing today because they have perished from the face of the earth. But recent satellite photos suggest that these rivers, the ancient riverbeds, are still visible by infrared and by other means of detecting and sonar, and they have found these rivers to be exactly where they're at. And the Hittical, which is the ancient name of the Tigris, we know where that's at because our troops are sleeping on the banks of the Tigris River today, and the Euphrates. These are the rivers. This is the province. This is the area. This is the cradle, if you will, of Adam's seed. Now, there were people living in East Africa, the black race. The yellow race was in China, and the Egyptian race. All these had dynasties and an unbroken historical record that continues without even the slightest mention or a stoppage of the history. See, if it had been a worldwide flood and all of life had ceased to be, they wouldn't have been a continuous history. But there is. All because that Christians have believed that the Bible says that the flood covered the whole earth, just like it says that all the world was to be taxed, and everybody believes that that the Roman Empire ruled the whole world. They didn't. And it's all in word devaluation techniques, whether it be purposely or ignorantly or haphazardly. We don't know, but it happens, and people that don't do the homework, the masses that don't, that read the Bible just for it says, they start preaching that God destroyed the whole earth. Peter says that the earth in that time frame was standing in the water and out of the water. He was talking about a specific area. Here it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, this they're willingly ignorant of, that the earth was standing out of the water. Did he know that people would believe that the flood covered the whole earth just like they believe today? Because they mistranslate the word erect into the whole earth. That the water covered the whole earth. Don't say that. It says it covered the land. And that's a region. And that's what Peter says here. This are willingly. And man, I'm telling you, you can't blast them out of their tradition with dynamite. They hold to that. I know what the Bible says. Glory to God. But what's he say? Said it covered the whole earth, and I believe it. Everything died, it said. And that's what they believe. They will not be reasonable with the word changes. They won't look. They won't investigate because they haven't got time. They just want to believe what they've been told or whatever they read there and says, that's what it says, and I'm sticking to it. Without going into behind the scenes to see some of the things that well, the Tigris and the Euphrates rise into in what is today, like I said, the extreme north or the extreme southeastern Turkey, a little north of modern Iraq, right where we're at today, making some allowances for the fact that many rivers have changed their courses considerably in the course of several thousand years. This still placed the Garden of Eden at the northern end of ancient Elkad, which in the Hebrew means the land of in other words, just a paradise, a tropical paradise. This was a land that was so enriched with all the fertile plains of all the thousands and thousands of years of all the topsoils around this valley, washing down into the valley where that they could it would yield. And this is where Cain became a farmer. And this is where Yahweh for punishment to this sea. A farmer to a banker. Well, you know, it's a heck of a lot easier to bank than it is to farm. But, you know, if the land won't yield to you, what's the use of farming? If it's a curse to you, what's the use of doing that? And so Cain was driven off this land, this fertile land, and was given to the shepherds of the house of Adam. And the fertile plains grazed the large areas of sheep. But these people, these Adamites, began to be evil, as it says in Genesis 6. And they fell for the governmental doctrine of that day that was well and good and proper and humanist, very humane to, you know, you don't want to be a racist. Yeah, you know, why keep y'all, why do y'all stay separate? You know, are you all think you're special? Why don't you come over here and mix with us and let us have your daughters and you take our sons? And that's exactly what they began to do until the point came where this small minority of these beings, these Adamites, began to lose the advantage of the blessing that they had in this Chelan Basin of this province, where it was very fertile plains of the Shikin province. There's a great basin now, rimmed by high mountains on all sides, but with an outlet on the eastern end of it through the mountains where the headwaters of the Hung Ho River comes out there, and the Yellow River rises, and this basin is today nearly all desert because it bears evidence of a fertile and heavily inhabited past, and explorers have found ruins of ancient cities uncovering by the drifting sands of the desert. It's turned into a desert because all the vegetation there by the great amount of water killed it, and all the plains of the high mountains surrounding it that were flooded killed the vegetation, and it became nothing but a desert, a barren desert. Explorers have found, like I say, ancient cities. Well, who built those cities? Uncovered by the explorers. Also, the known geological structure shows that in ancient times, at least beneath this desert, lay an enormous underground natural reservoir of water. Caverns filled with water underneath an aqueduct. It is the same geological structure which furnishes artesian water in many parts of the world there today. These underground reservoirs were covered by waterproof layers of rock, which kept the waters beneath from overflowing out on the land surface above them. And in this mountain-rimmed basin, a fertile, well-populated land of Adam and Eve and their descendants of the generations that settled there. Those of Adam's posterity were destroyed because of their miscegenation, their humanist views, because these were special people. They were to keep to themselves. They were not to mix and mingle or marry into the other races of the earth. And this has kept true with Yahweh's command even to Moses. If God had no purpose in mind for these people, all of these other things could have been served by the other races. There would have been no reason for him to create Adam. Neither could the purpose which Adam and his descendants were intended to serve be fulfilled by a mongrelized race. Because he said, kind after kind, and keep yourself pure. The consequences of the mongrelization of Genesis 6, brought on by the cunning craftiness encouragement of the times when Satan influenced his children to convince the children of Yah to come and mingle and play with them. All this is described in Genesis 6:5. And when God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts in his heart was continuously evil, again he consulted with his hierarchy, the angels, which were servants to his cause. And they all voted to end the experiment with the preservation of the seed, because they said, if we don't, they will not be any flesh saved. Well, isn't that what it says in the book of Matthew 24:22? Except these days be shortened, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. There will be no flesh saved. What flesh? This flesh that came from heaven. These eternal beings that came down into, or fell down into flesh bodies, but they were eternal beings. They were different from the people. They were strangers here. And pilgrims living in a specific area, and were told specifically to stay away from the others in the earth. And they didn't do so. They were caught up in music. The book of Adam says that that the sons of Adam and the daughters of Adam, that they were enticed to come down and mix and mingle with the people of the surrounding regions. And so it began, the men began to multiply exceedingly, and evil, and corruption, and mongrelization, and adultery, the mingling of blood, that's what that means. No, we have been word processed down through devaluation of the meaning of words to believe become putty in the hands of Satan through craftiness and through subtle means of deception. The land, that particular land, again, we find the word there mistranslated earth when it should be Erath, which only means the land, that particular land. And there's reason for using that Hebrew word, because if he had used the word the whole earth, it would have been a different word, but the word is Erath, meaning the land or the region, that particular land. And that was the place where integration and mongrelization had taken place with its degenerative effects of the genetics, and as compared to the qualities possessed by each race separately. You see, when you mix the blood of the various races, you forever destroy through a hybrid process. And that's why that you won't even find, you'll find that the government is trying to control the original seeds even now. They don't want you to have the original seeds. Well, that's the whole, so that they can mongrelize the seeds to destroy you, to give you less value for what you eat. Remember, the strength, the nutrients, and the vitamins, and the minerals are possessed in the things that we eat, and we shall live, but not live by bread alone. We got to rightly divide this and get into the truth. Now, let's find some, if you will, let's find some processing here of the truth of the word. And that truth is to stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. What is the salvation of Yahweh? Meaning a purpose and an intention for those who are chosen to have salvation. And this salvation is to a people who are called by his name. Now let me give you a scripture here in Hebrews. It says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified. Now what does it mean by that? The patterns. See, there was a double pattern, as on earth, so is in heaven. Well, Satan defiled the earth through a pattern of a traditional habitation of denying the only true God, Yahweh, and placing himself and his angels as the supreme ruling elite gods of this earth. So there had to be a purification. Now, what happened? And there was war upon the earth. Now, this war started in Genesis 6. The angels that remain loyal were given an assignment to round up the renegades, these angels who become flesh and blood. Remember I told you that angels have the power to take on flesh and blood bodies into this dimension. How they do it, I don't know. I thought the Bible said that the angels are a little greater than man. We have the potential within us to become the rulers. And they know that. It's in a chapter of the book of Psalms. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You made him a little lower, but you have ordained all things under his feet. And that includes the fallen angels. And they don't want that to happen. And as long as they can keep us blind, ignorant, dumb, fearful, superstitious, or reading the wrong words in places where that we should be reading the true purpose words of the prophets that spake as they were moved on by the infilling of the Holy Spirit and rightly divide the truth. When Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:24, it tells us that God placed the cherubim there with a flaming sword at the east side of the Garden of Eden to keep Adam and Eve from returning and having access to the tree of life. If this guard was to accomplish anything, it must have been placed between Adam and the Garden of Eden. So we see then that Adam and Eve were driven out to the east from Eden. Adam's course would naturally have led him across northern Iran, modern Iran, around the southern end of the Caspian Sea into what was formerly called the Chinese Turkestan and today is known as the Sikkim province in the extreme west of China, where there is evidence of great white men and their tombs and their mummification that is buried in that region. Now, right in there in the southern part of the Sikkim Basin on the western slope is this basin rimmed by high mountains on all sides, as I've said. This is the area of land that was given to Adam. And for him to remain, remember, his laws, the laws, even Passover was practiced. I showed you where Lot and the angels were keeping Passover, but they were interrupted by the lewdness and the perversionists of the homosexuals of Sodom. And then the angels stepped in, delivered Lot and his two daughters out of the city, and detonated a device, could have been a nuclear device for all I know, because it caused a terrific blast. It liquefied the sand in that region even today that there's not even a hoot owl that will rest over there. It's terrible. It's called a wilderness now, Sodom. You can see the tar pits, the brim and the salt brim and the tar pits. This was once a thriving city, international, world-renowned, I guess, Sodom. Noah and his family was the last remaining pure-blooded Adamites in the world. Therefore, God needed to save them to carry out the purposes that he had planned for the Adamic people. The mongrelized people, among whom Adam and his family lived, had to be removed or they would be a trap, which would eventually lead to the complete end of the bloodline of Adam, which was the bloodline of Yahweh. Adam was the son of Yahweh. And I'm telling you, folks, this gets into genetics that will blow your mind. And this is all the struggle. The world itself has been in a struggle ever since this happened. Now, if Noah and his family was the last remaining pure-blooded Adamites in the world, then you can see Yahweh's attempt that he needed to step in and carry out the purpose he had planned for the Adamic people. The mongrelized people among whom Adam and his family lived had to be removed. So, what did he do? In this area, in this region, in the days of Caesar Augustus, it came to pass that all the world was to be taxed. That's a mistranslation. Just like it was, and the flood covered the whole earth. That's a mistranslation. If it would have been, and the flood covered the land, and everything in that land died, with exception of Noah. That was the intent. That was the plan, not to destroy the whole earth. Because Peter acknowledged that the earth was standing out of the water. At the same time, it was standing in the water. So the flood did not cover all of the earth because it was standing out of the water, according to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. Or 2 Peter, where we just read. So now you can see that the word, now let's look at it. Now, we have other evidence to support our view that this region where Adam and Eve were descendants settled. Yes, we did. Remember that Adam and Eve was driven out of Eden to the eastward, and when Cain murdered Abel, and as a punishment, he was banished from the land where Adam and Eve lived, that he had to leave. And Genesis 4:16 tells us that Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. The Hebrew word Nod means wandering. Just like a person that's going to sleep here, his head will wander, toddle, from side to side or from position to position. That's what that word, Hebrew word, means, wandering. That is, in the upper Tigris and Euphrates Valley, at the north of Eden, these rivers were running swiftly downhill from their mountain sources. Therefore, they cut themselves deep channels into the ground, and even today we can find traces of the ancient diversionary dams built by the ancients to raise the water level up close to the surface of the ground so that they would not have to pump it so high to get it into their irrigation canals, which is the ancient canal that can be seen, like I said, from satellite photos, are still there. And the Bible says that Cain's descendants, the Cain's, Cain and his descendants became great architects, builders. But where is your mass of sin and perversion today? In the cities. The Adamites were agricultural herders, sheep herders. They kept livestock. Their wealth and riches and their the statue of prominence was judged on their agricultural means rather than their architecture. They were not to miscegenate into the cities. Now farther to the north in the lower Tigris and Euphrates Valley, there is where the slopes was no longer very steep. The accumulation of silt, like I said, picked up in the rivers where that they ran swiftly and was settling in the riverbeds and constantly raising the level so that every high water season, the rivers overflowed their banks and flooded the valleys. And this is exactly what is happening today among the Mississippi Basin Delta that we have here in America. These annual floods, like the Nile, the Mississippi, washed away the people's houses, sent them fleeing away to high ground, and therefore it was correctly called the land of Nod. The land of wandering. Here Cain settled and taught the people to build high dikes along the riverbanks, just as we have done along the banks of the Mississippi with our Corps of Engineers, and this enabled them to stop the annual floods so that they could now build permanent cities, and the evidence is there, of good houses in the lower Tigris and Euphrates Valley, and the land then was called by its own inhabitants, Sumer, and later called Chaldea. In other places, the Bible calls it the plain of Shinar. That is, where Cain went back westward from where Adam and Eve lived. It was thus where Cain started his great empire, known now to historical a character found not only in the Bible, but he is known in history under another name. Cain established an empire which extended into the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean Sea and even took in some of the larger islands that surround the sea. And so he began to build cities and became great in the earth. Cain, collector of financial systems, barter and trade, taking advantage of the poor farmers who would bring their goods and the marketplaces, and people would buy their goods real cheap. Just like today, farmers now, the small farmer has been put out of business by the co-opal enterprises of the large co-ops, which are owned exclusively by the banks and controlled because they have the land, because they foreclosed on in the 30s when they caused the depression. And we're going right back in it. We're building on the House of Cards right here in the United States right now. Well, let's look at another bit of evidence before I get off here. If you look at the high water mark found in many places along the mountains where rims that basin in that area, showing that at one time this basin was a lake extending to this well-marked shoreline, the mountains which rim the valley were not fully covered. For many of them range from 16 to 25,000 feet in height, and one even rises over 28,000 feet. But within the basin are several smaller mountains which could be fully covered by a flood held within the higher rim of the valley, and in short, this basin through which flows the Tarim River, and which is sometimes known as the Tarim Basin, in southern Shikin, it is identified as the site of Noah's flood. Now, in Genesis 7:11, through 12, it reads, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day, in the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The rain was upon the earth 40 days and nights. And more careful translation now makes clear what really happened. And Moffat's modern English translation, you can read, the fountains of the great abyss burst, and the sluices of heaven were opened. In Smith and Godspeed, American translation, it says the fountains of the great abyss were all broken open, and the windows of the heavens were opened. That is, the great earthquake broke up this waterproof layer of rock over the immense water-filled abyss or cavern beneath this Turin basin, causing the floor of the valley to settle and allow the enormous underground reservoirs and springs to overflow and submerge, coming up through the valley and from down above, and allow the valley to dispose of all the transgressors that were in this region. Not the whole earth, but the region, the land, and the land of Shinar, and the land of the Turin Basin. This is where the sons of Adam were put to rest. And we'll find in the book of Peter that the same souls that were disobedient in those days were kept in prison, and Christ visited them. After his death, he went and preached 3 days into a region of the earth where they exist, or existed, and he preached to them the gospel that they didn't get to hear in Noah's time. They say, well, Noah preached the gospel of righteousness. All he preached was his actions. What if everybody got on his boat? He didn't want them on his boat. They were all miscegenated. The Bible says they were. They were all sin, blood, discrepant. And Yahweh had no place for them. He didn't preach a message to save them. They couldn't be saved. But the Bible says the flesh that errs can be destroyed, and yet the soul will be saved as by fire. And so, now let's look at the word. I gotta get this in here. But if you look at in 7:19-20, don't be misled by another translation. All the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered, it says. The word mistranslated heaven is merely the Hebrew word shami, meaning the sky. Since this Turin Basin is somewhat more than 350 miles wide by more than 650 miles long, all the sky visible from anywhere near the center of this valley would cover only that valley, and therefore only those lower mountains which were within the valley itself. So the word mistranslated heaven is shana, meaning the sky. And so we have the word devaluation again. Now, in Genesis 8:4, reading, and the ark rested the seventh month of the 17th day of the month upon the mountain of Ararat. Sometimes failure to translate can be misleading, and very misleading in the translation. Most people understand that to mean that Mount Ararat in Turkey, some 1,600 miles west of the basin. This is not what the Bible says. First of all, note that it says mountains of Ararat, meaning mountains being in the plural. While Mount Ararat is in Turkey, it is only a single peak. However, Mount Ararat in that day and still was known until comparative recent times as Mount Masness. And nobody had ever heard of it being called Mount Ararat in Bible times. Furthermore, the Hebrew word Ararat means only the tops of the hills. Therefore, correctly translated, Genesis 8:4 merely says that the ark came to rest upon the tops of the high hills, meaning the lower mountains which were within the valley. Now, I've got to get off here. My time is just boogied on by. So this is Pastor Buddy. We're talking about the flood, not worldwide, but in a localized regional area. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. You can email me, buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1 @centuryretail.net, or you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. My mailing address is simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Well, we'll see you on down the line with a little Dixie here. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and we'll see you Monday on National Association of Microbroadcasters.com. I'm going to be on the road tomorrow night, so I won't be on tomorrow night, but I will be back Monday bright and early on the 8 o'clock edition p.m. of our broadcast. Yahweh bless you. Thank you.